Today on From His Heart, we'll explore the pain and the gain of Christmas. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
You know, it is important to teach people from the very beginning that there is great gain in the Christian life, but there is also pain in the Christian life. Jesus said, count the cost. You need to know what it costs to follow me. And if you don't understand that there is going to be suffering in the Christian life, you're going to get very disillusioned when suffering comes your way.
Welcome to From His Heart, as Pastor Jeff Shreve continues his timely Christmas series called The Dividing Line, A Baby Changes Everything. You see, when we think about Christmas, we focus on the joy and the good news of the birth of Jesus. But in the Gospel of Luke, Simeon introduces us to the pain in the Christmas story. Pain that we shouldn't ignore as we worship the baby in the manger. Today, Pastor Jeff provides important truth concerning the Lord Jesus that helps us see the pain, but more importantly, the gain of the gospel. Open your Bible to Luke chapter 2 now, as Pastor Jeff begins today's lesson entitled, The Pain and the Gain of Christmas.
Luke chapter 2, I'll begin reading it in verse 22. It says, and when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, that's 40 days, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. It says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The consolation of Israel is the Messiah. He's looking for the consoler. He's looking for the one. And it says in verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Lord's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them. Everything is good up until this point. And said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. The pain and gain of Christmas. You know, it is important to teach people from the very beginning that there is great gain in the Christian life, but there is also pain in the Christian life. Jesus said, count the cost. You need to know what it costs to follow me. And if you don't understand that there is going to be suffering in the Christian life, you're going to get very disillusioned when suffering comes your way. Adrian Rogers used to say it this way, don't ever get the idea that the Christian life is all honey and no bees. There are bees in this life. Jesus said to his disciples on the night he was betrayed, in the world you have tribulation. You're going to have trouble and persecution and distress and problems. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Simeon is going to introduce us to some pain in the Christmas story that we have not heard up until this point. And I want you to notice with me from the passage we read four important truths concerning the Lord Jesus, truths that appeal to the gain of Christmas, and truths that tell us about the pain of Christmas. Truth number one, Jesus is the Savior of the world who saves Jews and Gentiles. That is good news. That is great news. Look at it again, beginning in verse 27. So this guy, Simeon, Mary and Joseph, they come to the temple like they're supposed to after 40 days. The days of purification are over. She's given birth. This is their firstborn. They come to the temple and they're going to give an offering and present him before the Lord. And this guy, Simeon, somebody that they didn't know, they've never met him before, but this guy is just and righteous and devout. He's right with God. He walks with God. Devout means that he walks very circumspectly. He is making sure that he walks in the light as the Lord himself is in the light. And he was in direct contact with the Lord through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit had revealed to this guy, Simeon, that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That was a promise he had from God. And so he's all the time wondering, when am I going to see the Lord's Christ? Because I know I can't die until I see the Lord's Christ. And then that day, Mary and Joseph come with the baby Jesus, and the Holy Spirit reveals to Simeon, that's the one. And it says in verse 27, and he came into the Spirit, into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took the child into his arms and blessed God, and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Man, that's great news. He quotes from Isaiah 9 that says that the Lord is coming to Galilee of the Gentiles, and he is going to be a light to those who walk in darkness, speaking of Gentiles. And he's going to be a light to the Jews and glory to the Jews. So this is great news. A Savior has come, the Savior of the world, to save Jews and Gentiles. Great news for Gentiles. Because you see, the Gentiles didn't hear from the Jews that salvation was really for them, because the Jews didn't like Gentiles. The greatest revival in the Old Testament is Jonah going to Gentile Nineveh and preaching, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And he wanted to see those people fried. They were Nineveh's the capital city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians were the bad boys of the ancient Near East before Babylon came on the scene. And Assyria, they were the enemies of Israel. They're going to end up, this nation Assyria is going to end up defeating the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, in battle in 722 BC. Well, when Jonah goes there, he preaches and there's a big revival. Wow, you should be excited. No, he wasn't excited at all. He didn't like those people. He wanted to see those people fry. He was so mad and so mad at God that he said, God, it is enough. Just kill me. Take my life. Death is better to me than life. Man, so to hear that God is bringing salvation to the Gentiles, wow. Now, twice in the Bible do we read that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And it was first spoken of in John chapter 4 when Jesus meets the woman at the well in Sychar of Samaria. Now, Samaritans were half-breeds, half Jew, half Gentile. And the Jews hated the Samaritans. They didn't have anything to do with them because they had polluted their race. And so Jesus, remember, he presents himself to this woman. The woman gets all these guys to come out, and Jesus spends 2 days there in Sychar. The men of Sychar said to the woman, well, we don't believe in him because of what you said. We have seen it for ourselves, and we know that this man is the Savior of the world. Savior of the world. John says that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14. He said, we testify that the Father has said, this one, Jesus, is the Savior of the world. That is great news for the Gentiles. But notice this, it's amazing news to the Jews. So when he quotes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 32, a light of salvation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel, verse 33, and his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. That's amazing. Why is that amazing? Because they weren't thinking in terms of Gentiles. They were just thinking in terms of the glory of Israel. This is the Messiah of Israel. What was the message that Mary got from Gabriel? You're going to have a son. He is going to sit on the throne of his father, David. What was the message that the angel gave Joseph? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And you shall call his name Jesus, Jehovah saves, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. His people are the Jews. They're thinking Jews, 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 Jews. Now all of a sudden they hear Gentiles and they're blown away. Wow. Salvation for the Gentiles too. Not just for the Jews. You know, Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, when he had his time at the naming of John, and he began to prophesy, he said that God is bringing salvation from our enemies. And that's how they thought of the Gentiles. They're our enemies. But now all of a sudden they're included, and the Savior has come for them too. And they were amazed. Wow. You know, in the book of Acts, when the gospel comes to the Gentiles, and Peter is there and with Cornelius and his family and some other people from Jerusalem, and he begins to preach to them, and the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his family, and they begin to speak in known languages, speak in tongues, and begin to praise God. This is what the scripture says, and all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. Wow. So this is an amazing truth that blew away Joseph and Mary. A light to the Gentiles. He came to save Gentiles. Aren't you glad? Because I think everyone in this room, save a few, we're Gentiles. I'm so glad that Jesus came to save me. Now, that was pretty awesome to receive that news. But then they're getting ready to hear some other news they haven't heard before. You could say, hey, in the Old Testament, the Lord said he showed that he was the Savior of the whole world. Nineveh is a great example. But now they're gonna hear news that they haven't heard before, hasn't been spoken about in the Christmas story yet. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them. Okay, everything's going great. And said to Mary, his mother. This is a message to Mary. Why not to Joseph? Because Joseph probably died before Jesus began his ministry. We don't read about Joseph. After Jesus is 12, he is there with his mother and his father, his stepfather Joseph. Then we don't read about Joseph again. Joseph probably died sometime before Jesus began his ministry at 30. And it says, and Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Mary's just been hearing gain, 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 but now all of a sudden she hears about pain. Important truth number two. Not only is the Lord the Savior of the world, but the Lord is the chief cornerstone who causes inevitable division. He causes some to fall and some to rise. There is no middle ground with Jesus. Romans chapter 9, verse 33 says this, behold, God says, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. We read about the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone in Psalm 118, the Messianic Psalm. That's what they said to Jesus when he rode in on Palm Sunday. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Well, that's out of Psalm 118. And Psalm 118, verse 22 says this, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus quotes this to the Jews in the last week of his life, Passion Week. Tells a parable about the landowner that had a vineyard, planted a vineyard, and he rented it out to tenant farmers. And then when the crops came due, he sent his slaves to receive his portion of the crops. and they beat one slave, and they killed another slave, and they stoned another slave, and the landowner didn't understand it, and he sent another group of slaves, and what did they do? They beat one of those slaves, they killed another one of those slaves, they stoned another one of those slaves, and the landowner said, they must not understand, I'll send my son. Surely they'll respect my son. And those tenant farmers said, behold, that's the heir, let's kill him, and we'll have the inheritance for ourselves. And Jesus said to the Jews that day, what do you think the owner of the vineyard is going to do to those tenant farmers? And they said, he's going to destroy them. And Jesus said, have you never read the stone which the builders rejected? This has become the chief cornerstone. They knew that he was speaking about himself. They knew that he was speaking about them. They're the tenant farmers. They're rejecting the chief cornerstone. Now, Simeon said, this child is appointed. He's designated. He has been set forth and destined so that people either fall or rise on him. So the fall is to crash. It's to crash and burn. And there are going to be those with this one, this child who's going to grow up into a man. There are going to be those who proudly reject him, and they're going to fall. That's what we see in the gospel account. Those who proudly rejected Jesus. No, we don't want you. No, we're not going to follow you. No, we're not going to obey you. They were destined for a fall. For a crash. They're going to crash and burn. And see, to them, why did they reject Jesus? Why did the Jews reject Jesus? It doesn't make much sense why they would. And see, to Mary, this is like, whoa, who's going to do this with the Messiah? Why would anyone reject the Messiah? We have been waiting for centuries for God to send the Messiah. And then when God sends the Messiah, it seems like everybody's just going to be wow, the Messiah. We're going to be so excited. We're going to be so enthralled. And it's like Palm Sunday every day. Hosanna to the Son of David. That's what they were thinking, but it wasn't going to be like that. He's appointed for the fall of some. Now, why is that? Because he's a rock of stumbling and a stone of offense. To stumble, that word means that it's an obstacle. The offense is the Greek word scandalon. When it says in Romans 9, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, a rock that is a scandal. Scandalon is a trap. It is something that they would use to ensnare an animal. It's a scandalon, and it's used as a word to mean a cause of displeasure. Now, what is the whole idea behind Jesus being a scandal? Well, he's Messiah who dies on a cross. Well, that's abhorrent to a Jew. Why? Because our Messiah is the Messiah who comes and sits on the throne of David, and he rules with the rod of iron, and he kicks tail and takes names, and we're no longer on the bottom, we're on the top when Messiah comes. That's what they think. And so for Messiah to come and die on a cross and be numbered with the transgressors, that doesn't make sense at all. What did Peter say when the Lord said he was going to be crucified? God forbid it, Lord, this will never happen to you, because that's not what happens to the Messiah. So Jesus becomes a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and people say, no way am I going to believe that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23 says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. To the Gentiles, the cross is foolishness, and to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. It's a scandalon. It is something that they reject, and those who proudly reject, they're going to fall. But those who humbly receive him, they're going to rise. And that word rise literally means a rising up from the dead. Did you notice when we do baptisms, we have a t-shirt and it has a quote from Romans chapter 6, raised to walk in newness of life. You know, when baptism is a visible picture of an invisible reality. And when you trust Christ as Savior and Lord, you are raised up. You die to your old way of life. You have a brand new life in Jesus. Nobody sees that. It's all done invisibly. It's all done spiritually. When you get baptized, everybody sees it. It's a reenactment of what has happened. Baptism doesn't save you. What saves you is putting your faith and trust in Christ. Baptism just pictures what happened to you. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. And those who humbly receive Christ, they will rise. Now, I told you the story. Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, he tells about the parable and he tells, have you not read the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone and it was marvelous in our eyes. And then he says this, and he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. Chief cornerstone. You have an option with the chief cornerstone. You can fall upon the stone and be broken. And I believe that means fall upon the stone in repentance. Kind of like the woman in Luke 7 who wept at his feet. She fell upon the stone and with a broken heart, a repentant heart. And what did he do? He raised her up. Your sins are forgiven. Your faith is saved. You go in peace. If you fall upon the stone, you'll be broken and he will raise you up. He will save you. But if the stone falls upon you, it will scatter you like dust. He's the chief cornerstone who causes inevitable division. And some are scattered like dust, and some fall before him in repentance and faith and are raised up. There is no middle ground with Jesus.
We're only halfway through this lesson called The Pain and Gain of Christmas, taken from Pastor Jeff's series, The Dividing Line, A Baby Changes Everything. He'll have part two right here tomorrow. Do you struggle more with the pain of life, the struggles that continue to flood your emotions and keep you from joy and peace? Are you longing for a deeper connection with God, seeking His guidance in every aspect of your life? Well, you would greatly be blessed by getting your copy of a brand new devotional book Pastor Jeff helped to write. It's called Everyday Joy and Peace. It's a year-long daily devotional that addresses your specific needs and provides you with the insights and wisdom from God's Word to help you experience a transformative life for the kingdom, even during the struggles. This new high-quality book with a beautiful faux leather cover is our gift of thanks to you for your support to From His Heart this month, which, by the way, is a crucial time of year for this ministry as we plan to move into a new year of outreach. This calendar year and month is when we traditionally and hopefully will receive about one quarter of all the support that we'll get throughout the year. We plan our growth potential for next year based on the response we get from those who have been blessed by the messages and outreach of From His Heart. The support you supply this month can open doors of opportunity next year. Would you consider a generous gift this month as God has supplied to you? If so, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to fromhisheart.org and make that gift. And when you do, we'll say a big thanks by sending you the brand new daily devotional book called Everyday Joy and Peace. Pastor Jeff helped to write. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go online to fromhisheart.org. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be right back here on Tuesday when Pastor Jeff Shreve will reveal more truth about the pain and the gain of Christmas. That's tomorrow, when we'll again open God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.